Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. So welcome to this week's program with me, Monique Chambers, and today I'm talking to Mark Lightfoot of UUX. What's UUX? So okay. I thought it's not WX, it's UUX, no?
Yeah, so. The company is called Urban UX.
Okay.
So the UUX is the domain name. So Urban UX is the company name.
Okay.
And in simple terms, we are looking at and working with and on urban user experience.
What does that mean?
Well, I think the statistic is that we live, 90% of us live in an urban environment,
mm-hmm.
and in a place like Malta.
Most of us.
Most of us. Everybody, practically.
Now.
Yeah. And so what we concern ourselves with is how humans can have the best user experience in an urban environment,
mm-hmm.
in the context of finding their way around.
Okay, so like signage type things,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And the wayfinding, so the things that people use to find their way around or to familiarize themselves with unfamiliar space. So say, for example, when I came to the university just now to do this interview, I had to very quickly go on to Google and search for the signage where I sort of parked.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing.
Okay.
So I would, you know, a place like this could benefit from a good signage program. And universities, if you look internationally, the company that we work with, they do a lot of work with universities.
Right.
And it's a great way to promote the brand, and also make sure that your visitors, your new students, can find their way around quickly and easily. It helps assimilate people very quickly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's one of the things that you look at with a large corporate is how quickly do new HR assimilate into the infrastructure, the building? How do they find their way around? If a place is well signed, and a new kind of employee is trying to find Mr. Jones on the 9th floor, and if it's well signed and there's good directories, they find them immediately.
Yeah.
And
that's
one part of mm-hmm. urban user experience. The other parts that we are concerned with is things like urban and street furniture. So things like bins, very important.
Mm.
Where you park your bicycle.
Yeah.
How you park your bicycle. Where you sit. Shade for the sun. Planters.
Mm-hmm.
Green environment. So we kind of cross over into landscaping.
Okay.
Although we don't do the landscaping, we work with landscapers to provide the sort of the bits and pieces that can really enhance a piazza, for example.
So that would
really
say seating and shade,
yeah.
But it's not just pretty to look at.
No, it's very functional. And the idea is that if you create a place where people congregate and you enhance the human experience of a place, it almost works like a magnet. It draws people in. People will want to use the space.
Uh-huh.
So they'll come not just because they have to, but because they want to.
Right.
So that's two parts of what we do. So the other three parts are audio branding.
Okay.
Scent branding.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So, and then green walls. Now that's interior and exterior green walls,
mm-hmm.
Green wall solutions.
Green walls I kind of get because you see those everywhere and they're always lovely and you always want one. And
So we work with a Swedish company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of what we do is partnering with companies outside of Malta generally.
But you do the design generally
so
and find the supplier.
So we kind of bring it all together and act as an interface for the client and tying together these five things that we do, which are focused on urban user experience.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other aspects as well, like lighting, but we don't obviously get into everything.
Yeah. What's scent branding? You've got to explain that to me, so I don't understand.
It's very simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sense of smell is probably one of the strongest but most subconscious. So you will often remember somewhere from 30, 40 years ago, if you're old enough.
What do you say?
Based on a smell profile. Mm-hmm, so okay. The smell of oak trees will take you back to the smell of a particular pub, the smell of a lovely restaurant. Now, you can use scent branding, scent profiling, or scent creation, scent distribution within an environment to actually enhance the user experience.
So is this like when they say you're selling your house, bake something in the oven and put the coffee
fresh,
on?
Fresh coffee. It's exactly that.
Ah.
I mean, in a supermarket, it's very obvious. They'll pump the smell of fresh bread through the air conditioning, or you'll get the smell of coffee.
It's funny, actually, because you'd think people would make candles and stuff like that for the home where you could have freshly baked bread smell so you didn't have to go
rather than
to the trouble of
cinnamon.
Doing it yourself. Yeah, because some of them are a bit...
Mm. Yeah,
and then there's all these lovely smells, like baked bread, that you'd rather have in your house. And
probably can't do them as a candle. Maybe there's a business niche there for you.
There you go.
And
the other thing you were saying was sound branding?
Audio
branding.
Yeah, so that, again, is... how a place sounds, and you can influence how a place sounds. For example, if you take a hotel, the music that you might hear on the on hold, the sound that you hear when you walk into the lobby, the sound that you hear in the lift, so very often it's not really thought of. You'll get that generic voice, which you'll hear in any other place that lift is supplied to.
Right.
It's really a way for you to consider touch points 360.
It's like all the senses.
Yeah, I mean, it's branding at the end of the day, in the same way that someone's going to spend a lot of time, money and effort in curating a brand experience for someone in a retail environment, in a hotel, in an office. We know the power of branding. It's personality. Mm. And I think the great thing to remember is that a brand is the thing that your users, your customers, your clients carry around in their head. Mm-hmm. It's the image of you. So it's a bit like when you think of a person, that's that personal brand.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So let's go back. So you might do a whole hotel environment or office environment where you have the seating areas downstairs, the music, there's a scent associated with it, the signage, and that's all tied in together. So work from one company, that's the sort of smart thing to do.
Yeah, the reason we've done that is because there aren't companies out there who are looking at branding in these areas. There are lots of companies doing branding, visual branding, identity, dealing with things like customer service, which is a huge brand linchpin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we've done is understand how our clients are operating and seeing gaps in their thinking. It's as simple as that. People don't think about the power of the music or sound brand to influence people within an environment.
Because it might not be on the same thing, but a negative influence is when you go to a restaurant and they're playing music for the staff.
Or the staff have plugged their iPhone into the sound system.
That, you know, you're going there for a nice dinner and you can't talk because the music's too loud.
Exactly.
And you feel like a fuddy-duddy asking people to turn it down.
Yeah.
But actually, you're not. If you're there for the music, then if it's known for its music, but if you're there for its food, can we enjoy the food? And you're right, actually, have the relevant music.
I mean, at the very, very top end of the market in New York, I read a fascinating article in the New York Times about a chap who he's actually a composer, but he found a niche curating playlists for New York restaurants, the high-end New York restaurants. And he would study the menu, he'd go in and he'd have dinner there, lunch there. He would look at, obviously, the interior and the whole feel and understand, really get under the skin of the brand. And I read some of the playlists, very, very obscure music, very eclectic, but it really helped cement what you're saying. It's this overall experience. When you go into a restaurant and they get the music right, where it's not too intrusive, it provides another layer to the experience. We were talking to a client recently who said that they wanted help with the playlist in the restaurant because come 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30, there was a lull. The diners had eaten a bit of wine and alcohol and things flatten out a bit. And they wanted to design the playlist to match the cadences in the evening.
Fantastic.
Which is a great thing. And there are people out there who do this, who do playlist curation design, also do unique audio brand assets. So, for example, lift music, on-hold music.
You don't even think of these. You know that on-hold because it's normally so annoying you have to move the receiver away. Showing how old I am. Move the receiver away from your ear. But lift music, I've never even considered, and it's probably there all the time.
And it might not even be music. It might be something ambient. But it's just something which adds another layer. Another dimension to the overall experience of a place. If you go into a spa, the music can often be very cliche.
Yes.
So it's like, how do you then work with that? Going back to the thing of smells, Fairmont hotels in the US have a team that their job is to go around visiting all the hotels and ensuring that the lobby smells like a Fairmont lobby. They've got their own signature smell.
Okay.
That the corridors, that the public areas, that the gyms, the changing rooms, the bathrooms, everything is on brand.
Yes.
And they even have packaged the Fairmont smell, and you can buy your kind of toiletries.
To take it home.
Because obviously if you have a great experience at a Fairmont and smell is part of that profile subconsciously, you'll remember that when you go home. I've stayed in Ferndale hotels in London, and they use a particular signature smell in the rooms, and their soap as well, and their shampoo and conditioner. Now, I have a bar of soap at home, and whenever I use it, I remember staying at the Ferndale.
That's nice.
And it is absolutely brilliant, and it absolutely works. So it's a really good way to reinforce the brand.
So you don't no longer have to steal the stationery and things like that. You can actually buy the products to take home with you. That's quite interesting stuff. So it's like this subliminal
Merchandising as well. So for a business, if you've got a good, strong signature sound or smell, I mean, what's that firm?
You're thinking of the jazz people?
No, I was going to say Hollister. They did a big thing with playlists. So if you go into their stores and you kind of the music is whatever, you can actually, I think, buy or download their playlists online.
What are they?
So
that's quite cool, but they're quite hip and funky, aren't they?
But it's still, it's about how do you make music part of your brand, even for maybe kind of fuddy-duddy or serious companies, still have the opportunity to influence and give people a little bit of delight and joy.
And we were young once, so you do have those. No, but it's true, you'll have those nostalgic tunes that when it comes on will just make you a bit like the scent memory, that will just make you smile. And if you're having dinner with girlfriends or whatever, and something like that comes, because I'm guessing they study the audience, not just how the place looks and feels.
Yeah.
It's
studying
the audience who comes in and, what kinds of groups of people come in, what types, so that they know, they're all tattooed skinheads, they're going to like this kind of music, or they're all, yummy mummies, they're probably going to like this kind of music, and it's all very, very considered.
Yeah.
You don't even think of these things. It's a bit like the Truman Show, isn't it? Everything being so controlled around you and you don't know. If you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, and my guest today is Mark Lightfoot from Urban UX. So how did you get to this point? Because your background is design, but how do you get to designing these
experiences,
the experience
using
of the whole brand
that we've talked about. So I started a design company with Matthew Monjon in 1997.
Ooh, and that's a long time
we were
ago.
A traditional design company. we did everything from all the way from advertising, product design, packaging, book publishing, TV, adverts, radio, all sorts. Anything to do with the creative, the creative world over here. A lot of branding, a lot of corporate identities. And in 2003, we started a project that involved signage.
Okay.
And we got in touch with an international supplier, a company called Modulex.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, we're still with Modulex. We're a Modulex partner.
Mm-hmm.
And through them, we developed the signage business, distributing their sign products in Malta, using their sign products
okay,
for projects.
Okay, so they have like a standard set in
They have a system, a set of sign families that you can use to...
It's like a whole other language, a sign family.
Yeah. It is, it's like typefaces, which I mean, you don't really think about typefaces.
No.
Unless someone stops and points out that they have this myriad differences and they have different characters, and the signs as well have different characters you can use within a space. Are not just different sort of shapes or sizes,
mm-hmm.
Different materials. And obviously, as designers, where we were able to work very strongly was in the graphic design, the typography, color, the way you use color, shape, contrast, in actually sort of figuring out the best types of signs for particular locations or...
Yeah, because that's another thing in what might work in Scandinavia because of the colour of our stone or our weather or, you know, the type of building. You might not be able to carry anything. It must be quite specific that it has to work with the building because if it looks a bit odd, if it jars,
it
fails in its job, I suppose.
Absolutely,
You think, oh yeah, that's the one with the awful pink sign, rather than, you know, that's the one with the sign you want to touch every time you go past it. Sorry.
Yeah,
back to my stake stroking.
Or find your way around, yeah, exactly. And then, out of the signage came the other areas that we started to look at and get interested in. So now we've got a business which is, I would say, very far removed from the graphic design, but you can trace its roots.
So it still carries the values, everything through the skill
absolutely.
And everything.
Yeah.
And because you've done 20 years, you can't do the same thing all day, every day. Anyway, it's sort of...
Business, the only constant is change.
Mm.
I mean, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true.
Mm.
And we've navigated changes in the advertising world. We had to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
We've navigated changes in the online world. We had to adapt. And in fact, we evolved as a result of that.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't and didn't want to compete in the online space. We felt we was getting too far away from our roots.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started to concentrate on the physical space work that we do, which is the signage, the furniture, the human side, we felt we were doing something of real value.
Okay.
Advertising can be very esoteric and ephemeral. Mm. And we just, I think we got a bit disillusioned with the whole industry as well.
And I think locally it doesn't always work because people don't generally put their adverts in the right places in my humble opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. there's a lot of good stuff that
gets
done. But
there's some random things that happen and you're just like, what? So to step away but to move in a completely different direction than no one else is doing.
I think it was also a chance for us to do something really fresh and a bit different and also stand out, I think, from... I don't know of anyone else who has put together the service offering that we have. So touching these very sensual
parts of business.
What you smell, what you see, what you hear, the subconscious as well. The only thing we're not doing is cooking people food, but we did do that for a while when we had when we used to do lunch for clients and things like that at the office. So,
you think it is a new direction? I hadn't heard of some of these things, for example, and now I'll start walking around and paying a bit more attention to my surroundings.
Yes, you'll notice it. You'll notice what a place sounds like. You'll notice what a place smells like.
And it's also knowing, if a bench is comfortable or even bins. It's amazing, actually, how few bins there are around and stuff like that you do want to be able to dispose of stuff, but be able to sit and wait for somebody to check your emails and whatever in comfort, and all of these things actually count.
You're
working just in Malta, or do you have clients overseas as well, because you have work with these international suppliers? Do you just work in Malta, or you have clients that you work for?
90% of our work is in Malta.
Okay.
We're working with international architects here We have a lovely job in Manchester at the moment, which is just coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hotel that Winston Zara has been involved in.
Ah, okay, fantastic.
The stock exchange. Uh-huh. So we were very, very proudly supplying the signage there. Yep. So that's a really nice job. And I'm getting more involved with Module X UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be actually consulting with them.
Okay, so going around a bit more as well.
And working with them in the next few months.
Uh-huh.
With a view to taking a position with them as well.
Ah, fantastic. Okay, yeah. So this sort of entrepreneurial journey through your design has actually led you into a whole new thing.
Yeah, completely.
And so they just do signage, or they do all of the whole urban space, the bins, the seating, the bus stops,
well,
those
that's
things? Oh, I better not spill.
No. What I was going to say was that what interests them about what we've done is how we've brought together or sort of put signage in the context of all these other services.
Okay. So you've actually opened the door for them rather than...
Yeah.
I mean... Oh, fantastic.
Then when they're not here in Malta as Module X Malta,
mm-hmm.
we're here as we work as Urban UX and mm-hmm. we have we're a Module X partner.
Right.
But I think certainly what we've been doing is interesting because it does open up areas of business, and also it makes architects look at us differently.
Yeah.
Because we're not just the signage suppliers.
So do you think partnerships, being, you know, an entrepreneur and also an established business, because you've kind of gone through this journey, partnerships are something people should invest in and not be so frightened of? Because the Maltese do have a tendency to be a little bit paranoid about sharing ideas or, you know, being owned or something. There is a slight paranoia I found with Maltese people that I've worked with in the startup industry.
Yeah.
But this sounds like, for you, partnerships are the thing that have, you know, really made you take off as Urban UX.
I think there's a huge value in partnering.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the profile of the construction industry,
mm-hmm.
it couldn't exist without partnerships.
That's true, actually.
With all the different suppliers, if you just think about the lighting industry, I know of suppliers who have very, very strong relationships with GE, for example, and doing all the huge projects that are being done, you need to have international expertise
specialists
and obviously and
stuff, yeah.
specialists. But then local knowledge is really important as well, to know how the business world functions over here and what you need to do to make it work for your clients.
Yeah.
And I think certainly in some conversations I've had, the combination of international expertise and local knowledge is what people are looking for.
Yeah.
And it's been a great learning curve, and it's also good to be associated with an international brand.
So, but how did you get their attention, or how did they get your attention? How did you sort of start with finding this partner?
Well, back in 2003, I think it was...
the internet was pretty new then wasn't it?
But it was a case of going online and finding a name and calling, sending an email. I mean, when we were an advertising agency, I had spent a few years looking at associations with, you know, leading advertising networks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get in touch with Saatchi & Saatchi, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what local agencies did for a number of years.
Yeah.
And the same with when we were in the signage business, or the Urban UX. It was about reaching out, finding people who understood what we were doing,
mm-hmm.
who resonated with our vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a meeting, I don't know, a month ago with a Swedish guy online who I'd reached out to via his website about green walls. And we had a Skype meeting, and what they're doing coincided with what we're doing. And it was like, okay, let's see if we can make this something. So
I'd like to see more green walls in Malta, so can you make that happen?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan.
Like anybody listening.
Yeah.
We need some green walls. We've got no green anywhere else anymore, it seems.
Yeah. So, to answer your question, partnerships are absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think they really help leverage. And it seems you reach out to companies and you get a feel for them from their responses. Some you don't hear from. Other ones get back to you. They're enthusiastic. They ask good questions. They ask searching questions.
Uh-huh.
They ask about the market, the size of the market. That's what happened with our furniture
The street partner, furniture.
The street furniture partner. So it's the world's largest manufacturer of street furniture.
It must be quite something when you know, we're a tiny dot of a country and then you get the attention of these people.
They're still interested to have, in the case of Matalco Group, have a representative in Malta.
Well, with all the construction and everything that goes on here, there's it's actually quite a big market.
For them, it was about consolidating their representation in a market. So if someone contacts them from Malta in the past, they didn't really have anyone they could direct to locally. So it gives them a first point of reference locally. And obviously we can go and see the client and talk to them about the project, and it just adds to
the value of it.
Yeah, the client service.
That's fantastic. So lesson takeaway from this is partnerships are good things to do.
Yep.
So thank you very much. I've been talking to Mark Lightfoot of Urban UX, and I'm Monique Chambers.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmelo Gregg and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.